This is the BBC.
Hello, and welcome to Tweet of the Week. I'm Alison Steadman, and I have the pleasure to present 12 special episodes over the festive season, known as the 12 Tweets of Christmas. Each of these 90-second nuggets, loosely based on the traditional song 12 Days of Christmas, brings a personal thought to the bird or birds which may be sent to a true love as the days of the song progress. As a keen birdwatcher, I'm always amazed at the diversity of bird life out there and how nature fundamentally tugs at my emotions in a unique way. So let us begin. This week I bring you the last 6 tweets of Christmas. The big day has arrived, and I hope you've all received your 7 swans a-swimming, though wrapping these may have been a challenge. Deeply embedded in British culture, the mute swan is, for many, the perfect bird for the 7th day in the song. Our biggest swan, mutes can often seem to epitomise beauty, elegance, mystery and serenity. Hence the metaphor, like a swan, as we fail to notice the hard work going on under the surface. During the summer, the mute is our only native swan. But come winter, our shores are enriched by 2 other contenders, the Buick swan from Siberia and the slightly more vocal Hooper swan from Iceland. At first glance, these white swans with black and yellow bills look similar, and they often intermingle as a flock in winter. However, the Hooper is bigger than the Buick and makes a distinctive trumpeting or whooping call, after which it is named. The smaller Buick swan was named in honour of the Northumbrian engraver and naturalist Thomas Buick, who produced some of the finest woodblock animal prints of all time. I like to think there's room for all 3 swan types among our 7 swimmers, a trio of resident mute swans bolstered by the arrival of 4 winter cousins. Happy Christmas from us all at Tweet of the Day. No doubt desperate to keep warm during the cold midwinter as they went about their business, those 8 maids a-milking were probably not thinking of a bird, familiar to us, that actually does produce milk, the domestic pigeon. Both female and male pigeons, as well as doves, produce a nutrient-rich substance in a part of their digestive tract called their crop. Known as pigeon milk or crop milk, this substance starts to be produced around 2 days before the eggs hatch. The milk is essential for the development of the young pigeon squab. But at the time of the song's creation, another species had an association with maids a-milking, the crepuscular nightjar. This mysterious migrant from Africa had been given the colloquial name of goat sucker. This came about because the nightjar was often found in close proximity to livestock and long assumed to be feeding on the milk. In reality, the bird was feeding on the ready supply of insects associated with farmyards. The chirring call and wing clap of the male after dusk is often the only sign of their arrival, unless you're lucky enough to see one silhouetted against the moonlight. Maybe as the maids arrived for their milking before dawn. There are many birds who could be thought of as good dancers, but I'm sure the 9 dancing ladies in the song would relish a chance to relax a while and watch the dancing display of the great crested grebe. Participants on a well-known entertainment show may argue that this captivating courtship routine is not strictly dancing, but grebes do perform a balletic display so elaborate in its form, it is sometimes referred to as the courtship dance. Grebes will dance every time they meet, but which dance they decide on varies with their stage of courtship. On their first date, The pair face each other before head shaking from side to side, and a fanned out plumage posture takes place. All being well, often this is followed by the weed ceremony. Taking turns, each bird dives for some weed, and, returning to the water's surface, they swim towards each other. Initially, they hold their heads low, but as they meet, the birds rise up and stand chest to chest, paddling furiously to maintain this upright position. Such dancing on water is something not every bird can do, providing an unforgettable sight and an impressive display of amour at the very end of winter. While the original song called for 10 lords a-leaping, in the bird world, a number of birds leap. But as contenders for true love, two birds come to my mind. The first is a small bird, often seen leaping into the air near water, the pied wagtail. These neat black, grey and white birds are well named. With their long tail in perpetual motion as they search for food, they will frequently leap into the air when chasing insects. While the pied wagtail is one suitable contender for our lords a-leaping, these days, thanks to a remarkable conservation effort, you can witness common cranes a-leaping across parts of England. These huge, grey, long-legged birds engage in a delightful range of bows, bobs and occasional leaps, plus some general running around and throwing vegetation about. Cranes were once found across many British wetlands, but by the 17th century were extinct in the UK. It was not until 1979 that the birds returned, when three cranes from Europe overwintered in East Anglia. Then, in 2010, common cranes were deliberately introduced into the vast wetlands of the Somerset Levels. It's fair to say that both populations continue to expand in leaps and bounds. As the song hints at, no festive party for a true love would be complete without 11 masked pipers piping, and possibly the best pipers of the British bird world are found on the coast. The Redshank is a real contender for our 11 pipers piping. This classic resident wader is found around the entire British coastline. Its constant piping alarm call often alerts you to its presence as it flits about probing for food in estuaries, mudflats and salt marshes. The Redshank has red legs, propping up a typically wader-like brown speckled body. In winter, when continental birds join our resident population, it would be quite easy to hear 11 Redshank piping, a familiar lament at the seashore. But I'd want to add the long-lived oyster catcher to our musical offering. These are large black and white waders with an extended bill of vivid orange-red. Oyster catchers rarely feed on oysters, preferring, as their bill of fare, cockles and other bivalves. But after the Christmas sherry, cockle catchers may be too much of a tongue twister. So, oyster catchers it is. A piping band of redshanks and oyster catchers for our true love on the 11th day of Christmas. As the 12th day of Christmas arrives, we've reached the final verse of the song. Is that the sound of a distant drum roll I hear? Or maybe just a snipe, our first potential percussionist? On spring days, the drumming display of the male snipe would set any love interest's heart aflutter. As part of their courtship display, male snipe proclaim their eligibility by flying up from a suitable perch, such as a fence post. Once in the air, they perform a dashing earthwards flight before then sweeping back up again. A weakened hinge on one of its tail feathers affects a rapid, ethereal drumming sound. But our top seasonal percussionist is found elsewhere. Walk out near woodland on any day in early spring, and you'll soon hear rat-a-tat-tat of the great spotted woodpecker. It's the territorial drumming performed by both sexes that can travel far across the landscape. The woodpecker has a specially designed skull, enabling it to absorb this repetitive impact, which is fortunate, as unpaired males may drum as many as 600 times a day in search of a true love. And so this brings to a close our seasonal foray into the 12 days of Christmas. The old year ends, the new year begins, on Tweet of the Day. Happy New Year. Thank you for listening to Tweet of the Week, made by the BBC in Bristol. If you want to hear more stories from the natural world, search for the Best of Natural History Radio on the Radio 4 website. Thank you.